Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Anthony, Adam, AJ on the block. Dallas Cowboy swag, about to rock the flock.
Ooh.
Canadian hosted them Philly birds get mocked. Cowboys can fan podcast game locked. Crack them if you got them, pop tops and chill. Vancouver repping Dallas, show some real skill. Knocking Philly chirps, we roast them on the grill. Crack them if you got them, hear the buzz and thrill. Big D and a Gino chilling BC.
Hey-o. Oh, ho! Get that crack em in you, son.
Yeah, I'll take a real crack em. You know what? Whatevs.
You got a boneyard in front of you.
I got a boneyard in front of me. But hey, that's what happens.
This is Monday morning hangover, baby.
Monday morning hangover.
It's not Monday morning.
Well, technically, depends on when you wake up, right, boys? Am I right?
I stopped drinking after the game. I went to bed fairly early, ate a bunch of food, ate a bunch of pizza mid-game. So I felt pretty good today, to be honest. And woke up to that victory Monday. There's no better feeling than week one victory Monday, fellas.
You ain't wrong about that.
17, the Cowboys, as you can see, wrong side of my shoulder. As you can see, the Cowboys 33 and those snaky Browns 17. It felt good, fellas, and it still feels good.
Felt real good.
Felt really good. And big shout out to Paul for that that rap song, that new intro for this new show. We're going to see how it goes, and when we say we're going to see how it goes, it means that we're locked in, basically.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we're just going to do it, no matter if we have one person or 100 watching us. And it's fun because usually we'd have to wait. Well, we'd be talking to each other in the DMs and stuff, but we'd have to wait till Wednesday to get our thoughts about the game. And this is a good way, still fresh and, oh, yeah, crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him, son.
Crack him if you got him, guys.
Yeah, and it's also going to allow us to focus the Wednesday show pretty much entirely on week two, because we'd always run into basically we have so much to say and things come out, which we will touch on Wednesday. If something comes out that's important about the game from this show to Wednesday, we'll go back and we'll touch on it. But it's going to allow us to kind of wrap up week one with the Monday hangover and then move on to week two, starting with the main event. So,
yep,
I like it.
But this is the plan, and you know how we do.
You know how we roll, baby. And I mean, like, we had to also say to ourselves, because we're doing it on Monday Night Football, it might not necessarily fare well, but it's more important for us to get that content out there for Tuesday mornings where
yeah, we're literally streaming during a football game, which is funny. Yeah. But we're just gonna give it a go and see how it goes, guys. 33-17, though. Did you expect it? I'm going to ask you guys that right from the get-go. Did you expect the Cowboys? Because they did. They dominated. The 33-17, in my mind, doesn't represent what the game felt like. Like, it felt like the Cowboys pretty much took control of it the whole time.
Yeah.
We had some really close calls from chat in their score prediction. Let me just read a couple out. Jenkins, 33-10 for the Cowboys. Wow. Jakey B, 23-17. And then Brent Packer guy, 24-17. So like a couple guys within one score.
Yeah, I was 31-27.
That's pretty good too.
Oh, no, sorry. No, I was 30. No,
I can pull it up here.
I'm pretty sure I was 31-17. I'm almost positive I was 31-17.
Yeah, 31-17. Yes, you were two off.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's really close for us. AJ, you had a higher score than mine. My score wasn't even close.
You played a conservative 2013, and I said 34-21, so I think
that's pretty good too. 34-21. You guys were right in that wheelhouse of this actual score.
But yep. I think the more surprising thing was on offense, we only had two touchdowns. One passing touchdown from Dak Prescott and one rushing touchdown from Ezekiel Elliott, which means what? Do some math for me, you guys. 19 points came from special teams or defense.
Strictly special teams, because it was a punt return for one of them by Turpin, and then the rest was Aubrey.
Yep,
that's right.
So, I mean, the defense helped with a couple of the takeaways they had with the Eric Kendricks interception, and the Trevon Diggs interception, but putting in the work was the special teams. Like the special teams scored more than half the points, and that's what we want to see realistically. That's special teams is a for the little they play in a game, it holds so much importance to an overall structure of a game.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. I think when you look at a game like that where a guy like Brandon Aubrey can put up 15 points, it's so meaningful to and regardless of special teams putting up that amount of points for us, I still think we would have we were still going to win the game.
The Browns never seemed like they were in control ever.
No, and I was actually Bryson had a hat. It's a really good show to watch on the Grid Network, Carving It Up, with Bryson. He does a kind of a full recap of the week, and he had a really good little segment on the Cowboys. Obviously, he said his heart was shattered when he woke up or around 11 o'clock his time when he saw the news that Dak Prescott had been signed, because he
thought they were going to the Steelers.
He thought they would be in contention, right? He's really hoping. But anyways, he did this really great breakdown on the Cowboys, and he loves Dak. He's been following Dak his entire career, and I think some of the there's been if anyone has anything negative to say, which hey, Cowboys Nation will find a way, it's it's that Dak Prescott's stats weren't like elite, and I think if I remember correctly, we kind of touched on that a little, but. The question I have for anyone, and Bryson, I think, kind of had the same thoughts as well, is did he play? Did he not play? Like, I think he played smart. He didn't play to lose the ball. The Cowboys were never in fear or need to make a big play that had a lot of risk on it. And when the Cowboys needed to make big plays, Dak was actually really damn good. Bryson had his numbers. He was through something like over 80% in the plays that we needed to have something happen. Bunch of yards, most of his yards came from those plays. Otherwise, I think Dak was just playing it really, really smart. The Browns never put the Cowboys in a position where their arm was twisted and they had to do something a little bit more risky. So,
well, you said that the Cowboys had two touchdowns, a rushing by Ezekiel Elliott and a passing to Brandon Cooks. And that when they got those two touchdowns, you're right. They were just kind of, when they had the chance, they were just essentially trying to kind of not necessarily waste the clock or run the clock out, but they could play conservative. There was no reason to take big shots. And even with that, they did take a couple chances down the field. They had one deep pass to CeeDee Lamb that hit out of his hands, which could have really put the game away. But there was really no need at any point for the Cowboys to completely go outside of their game plan. Their game plan was to get a lead, then run the ball and play behind their defense, which they executed quite well.
Yep. And I guess a good person to kind of switch to here is Dak's buddy, Ezekiel Elliott, who I don't know if this was rumors or the truth, but Zeke was in his hotel room with Dak Prescott, or in Dak Prescott's hotel room with Zeke in a trainer or something like that when Dak got the news. Don't ask me why Dak and Zeke and their trainer are all in the hotel room together. Okay, that's just classic
snorting lines.
Party till I die. Party till I die.
Yeah, bringing back some of that.
What
90s.
Else are they doing? They're just snorting lines. Snorting that's the only lines. Thing that makes sense.
But that's awesome. Dak got the contract. Was there with his boy Zeke. They shed some tears. Probably had a couple Lizzies lined up, and we're just ready to go. So, but Zeke Elliott. Decent game. I think for me, better than what I expected. 10 carries, 40 yards, one touchdown, a long of 9. So he was doing a bunch of consistent runs. He didn't break off like a 20-yard run and then go 10 yard or 20 yards for the rest of his 9 carries. And I don't think he caught the ball. No. Oh, yeah, he did. 2 catches, 9 yards. So solid game. Is that the running back that we're looking to have lead the team? Might have to be, because Rico Dowdle, 8 for 26, 3.3 yards. So Dowdle had his chances as well. But just the final thought here is the Cowboys did breach that 24 carries. They got 25 carries for 102 yards, 4-yard average, 4.1.
Hey, man, that's what we always said. Anything over 4 yards per carry at, even if it's a running back by committee, we'll take it. That's kind of the bar that the NFL teams and fans look at, is that 4 yards per carry, and the Cowboys got it as an overall running back room.
Yeah, and on the Cleveland side of the Cleveland Brown side of the ball, Jerome Ford, their lead back, 12 carries, 44 yards, 3.7 average. He did get a touchdown, but overall the Cowboys kept Cleveland below 100 yards, and the majority of their quality running came from Deshaun Watson, 5 for 39 and an average of 7.8. So I mean, he still got legs.
Deshaun Watson looked just
not
out of sorts yesterday.
He looked like shit every time they cut to him on the sideline. He didn't look like he wanted to be there, but he had no room to go. There's that one clip that's going around with him trying to scramble to the right and DeMarvian Overshown just shooting out of nowhere.
You're right.
And just closing the gap, actually beating Micah Parsons to Deshaun Watson. So you have Deshaun Watson rolling out, Micah kind of trailing him, and then out of nowhere, this rocket just shoots out, and it's DeMarvian Overshown to take him down for a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. So, man, one of my biggest takeaways from the game is that we have linebackers.
Yes.
We have multiple good linebackers. So much that you didn't even, AJ, I remember you calling out mid-game being like, is Damone Clark even out there? Because it was predominantly Eric Kendricks and DeMarvian Overshown making the plays when the linebacker needed to be making plays. And that was one of the problems last year. One of our only linebackers on the team was Damone Clark. So to have these two dudes in DeMarvian Overshown and Eric Kendricks, who led the team at 1 and 2 in tackles, it completely stood out on film to me. And I'm really excited to see what those two guys are going to do next week.
Yeah, because when you look at their stats, when they put their stats up, I think the linebacking core, like Kendricks, Overshown, and even Micah, they all stood out with some solid numbers. Not the only guys on the team, but like you said, it's nice to not just... It feels like we have a group of linebackers versus just the one linebacker, which is kind of what we want.
And they were making plays behind the line of scrimmage. It was very rare that we had a linebacker making a play behind the line of scrimmage last year. So it's nice to see.
I am trying to find that clip because I know we shared it. I think I just found it here. Awesome. Okay.
Awesome Richards or?
I mean, shit. You could start calling him that. Let me get this mute off.
I've always said Micah Parsons is just a blur. Nobody chases quarterbacks with more speed and recklessness than Micah Parsons, until I saw Overshown hit the gas pedal right here. Like, this speed, I didn't think anybody could beat Micah to the ball like that until I saw this kid get a chance to start here in his second year. Boy, he showed up, and that speed is real.
Micah, D-Law, and Overshown all in a grouping there. That's deadly.
That's scary, man.
Well, we got 6 sacks yesterday. Overshown 1, Kendricks 2, Lawrence 2, and then the Lion himself, Micah Parsons, got 1. So,
it's funny. Hey. It didn't feel like 6 sacks, though, did it? Like, when I think back to the game, I mean, we were also drinking at the time, but the main one that I remember is the Micah Parsons sack. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I have a hard time remembering the other 5. Maybe it was because Deshaun Watson was running. Like, he was kind of scrambling, so it didn't feel like a traditional sack. But 6 sacks in a game, guys, that's pretty nice to see, because the Cowboys went through some spells last year. And I know in a couple years prior, there's been at the start of the years, the Cowboys have had these very inflated sack numbers and then kind of dwindled down the road. So I'm just excited to see if this will kind of keep at pace. Like, 6 is that's a very nice number to start off the season with.
6 is and a magic number.
3 of those sacks. Well, let me just say this while we're looking at defense here. Overshown and Kendricks, 2, let's call them new additions to the team this year. Even though Overshown was on the team, he never got to play. They combined for 20 total sacks, 20 total tackles.
Sounds like a Saturday night for AJ.
20 total tackles, 3 sacks, 2 TFLs, 1 pass deflected, and 4 quarterback hits. What a menace.
That is, guys, and that's against a quarterback that's mobile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, wait, they left some sacks. The team left some sacks on the board. Again, another sexy Saturday night. There were some sacks left on the board where Deshaun Watson scrambled and got away. So you start putting a quarterback that's not as, agile or mobile, you could put a couple more into that.
The other thing that I saw someone post, and maybe it was, maybe I didn't see it, the post it, but the idea of like the, this being two new guys, like two backup tackles on the line. Mm-hmm. Well, they played a majority of last season with those tackles and they were 11-6. So for people already trying to use the excuse that, oh, this is the only reason the Cowboys did so well was that we had two backups in there. Well, they had two backups in there last season and Joe Flacco took them.
Like you mean the Browns tackles.
The Browns tackles, yeah.
And my that's true. Like, you know, I'm not going to expect this moving forward, six sacks, but the addition of the mobile QB kind of makes it feel a little better, right?
Right.
A little bit of a wash.
And that's good to know that they have played. Cowboys too. We had two rookies, and they
right.
So
exactly.
You know, it can be done.
To say that it can be done, and just to look at the stats of the Browns, how many sacks did the Browns get on Dak?
Three.
So, I mean, that's pretty good. And I shared in the chat the Cooper Beebe stat where he didn't give up a single pressure yesterday.
Huge. That's right. Let me pull that up.
That's pretty amazing, man. Like to not give up a sack is one thing, but then to not even go and give up a pressure on your first game as a professional football player at a position you didn't play in college, like that is pretty impressive.
Huge. Yeah. So the lowest pressure rates allowed by rookie offensive linemen in week one, minimum 10 pass block snaps. So lots of conditions here, okay? Cooper Beebe, zero, as well as Zach Fraser on Pittsburgh and Talese Fuagua on New Orleans. And then Tyler Guyton, not too bad when you consider who he went up against. Allowed 2 out of 36 pressures. It's 5.6%, but still made that list. So, and really only allowed one more pressure off of seven more snaps than Joe Alt.
I do like looking at this list and seeing some of these other names because Zach Fraser was a guy that we wanted the Cowboys to draft. Graham Barton was a guy that we wanted the Cowboys to draft. So for those guys to both all be up on the list and then our guy Cooper Beebe to even surpass them, yeah, hey, man,
He was our number. He's up there as the number one up there.
Well, try to run past that guy. He's two people. Yeah. He's two people side by side in one.
Did we? I remember when the one guy got through. Wasn't BB's fault, right?
No, it ended up being. I said when it first happened, it was like the second or third play of the game. Dak Prescott got killed by the nose tackle.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh man, Cooper Beebe just got burned. And then it showed the replay, and it was Zach Martin that actually.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Zach Martin got
kind of bitched to the side. The guy just kind of yard sailed him over a little bit, and I was like, man, that's kind of scary if a guy can toss Zach Martin over like that. But Beebe ended up holding his ground, and we weren't completely sold as Beebe being a center. We liked the pick. We knew he was a bruiser, but right now I'm super excited for this offensive line because next week Tyler Guyton isn't playing against Myles Garrett again. So having him have to face Myles Garrett in week one is invaluable. Like that's a learning curve lesson that you can't teach in training camp or practice, no matter how many times you go against Micah Parsons, right? So I'm glad that he already got that off his,
docket.
His resume, I guess.
Off his sack.
Added to his resume. And if he would have had this same game against, say, a no-name, we might have been a little bit more feeling like, he's okay. He's gonna learn. But I think this was a great introduction to the NFL for both those rookie O-linemen.
Totally.
There was also another rookie out there in our secondary who I think the linebacker stole the show on defense, if I may be so bold to say.
Yep. Yeah, you're not wrong. But
we had this young stud, Kalen Carson, come in versus Amari Cooper.
Not Stephon Gilmore,
who confused us.
Not Ezekiel Elliott.
Not Ezekiel, confusing us out there with number 21. That jersey's been passed around.
Did it kind of fuck you up a couple times?
Oh, yeah. A couple times I was like,
I mean,
Even though we knew he had changed his number, it's like when you see it out of nowhere, because when we saw Kalen Carson in camp, he was 41.
Yeah.
And you kind of get accustomed to using that or seeing that. And then, that 21 just pops out of nowhere, and it kind of threw me off a couple times.
You're like, Zeke, what are you doing? Why are you so far out? But here's Kalen Carson's number. Nine targets versus Amari Cooper here. Nine targets, two receptions for 16 yards allowed, two pass deflected, and of course, no touchdowns. There was that deep pass, though, that went right through Amari Cooper's hands, and he should have had that. It would have been a touchdown. I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the game at all, but it would have put six more points on the board for the Browns. But hey, it didn't happen, and that, you know, this is the NFL. We don't, it's not horseshoes or hand grenades.
And his nickname is Seatbelt.
Seatbelt, yeah. I like it.
I might have to go for, if we're doing rooks, I might do a Kalen Carson jersey.
Oh, well,
I got to get a Zeke 15. Zeke back on the team, man. It's just, it makes me excited. And Zeke, I know we were talking about offense and now we're talking about Kalen Carson, but I just got to say, Zeke looked decent. That's all I want to say about that. Yeah. That's all I have to say about that, all right?
And that's all I have to say about that, all right?
Well, I don't think there's really much more to touch on with the defense. We kind of went through it all, and a lot of the talk was going to be about Overshown and Kendricks. Did you want to go back and look at the wide receivers and rushing and just have a...
One last thing about defense.
Okay, yep.
Defense!
Our boy Diggs back, baby, with with an interception.
Love
it. We got to give that guy some love.
That's right. And I hate how they don't have interceptions on the main board here.
It's right below. That's lame.
Oh, here it is. Sorry. Well,
Kendricks and Diggs.
Yeah, they give you it their own. It gives you its own section.
The Kendricks one was nice because Micah had that nice deflection.
Right.
And then Kendricks popped it in. Yeah. And then
service.
But I mean, like when you talk about having somebody so spastic like Deshaun Watson there. And he's just whipping and throwing it like you want to see some of that stuff. So I love seeing Kenny get the interception. But I think Diggs felt good. It felt like he's back, baby. He is back.
And leading towards our hangovers, a couple shotguns for each of those interceptions.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. How many takeaways? There was two defensive takeaways and the special teams
return.
Oh. Woo! Are you going to be switching up from?
Screech? I don't know.
I'm going to buy a fresh bottle so we don't have to drink this spitty.
Fuck, yeah.
The thing that made Ad almost barf is thinking about all the backwash in it. I guaranteed he got it in his head as he was pouring it, and it was hot and warm. And
maybe you need to chill.
I just don't know. I mean, I was drinking the other thing. I think I was drinking the Samsung, the rum. So I already had the rum.
Oh, yeah, you already know.
The rumming wasn't feeling in my bloods, in my plums. Oh, gosh, I could just fucking taste it today.
A little bit, and I don't know, good or bad.
It was bad.
No, no. But on the defensive side, the secondary outside of the two cornerbacks seemed fairly quiet. I think big Donald Dubb had a nice big hit.
Clean the guy out.
But otherwise, maybe it's just because they never really needed to get involved in the game and anything spectacular. Yeah. The ball wasn't being thrown. Much deeper than like a couple yards, right? So
didn't see any Wanye Thomas, didn't see any Marquez Bell, because you don't have to rely on your safeties to make tackles.
Well, that's what they're called. Safeties in Zimmer's exactly. Zimmer's defense. You don't want to see those safeties unless they're absolutely needed
so nice, man. It's wicked. One thing though, when we were looking at the interceptions, I did notice on the Brown side, guess how many interceptions they had?
Zero.
Big old fat zero, so that's always nice too.
Looking back
because
at
because they're the sixth ranked defense from 2023.
Who rack them if you got them? Whopper says Canadians barf. Well, just for how gross it was. It wasn't
Screech
even.
Screech will make anybody barf.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's a rough one. I'm actually growing a little bit of a liking to it though. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No, because you're that Samsung guy.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
Samsung, I think, is much nicer. But so outside of Zeke with 10 carries, 40 yards rushing and a tug, we mentioned Rico Dowdle, 8 for 26, 3.5 yards on average. And then CeeDee Lamb had 3 carries for 25 yards as well.
All those jet sweeps.
8.3-yard average. So, and that was along a 12. So he had some really good action in the game outside of even passing. Like, he got another 3 carries. Is this something that you think we're going to be seeing more frequently, or was it just the nature of the game? And you know, they didn't...
It might be one of those things that they're putting out there so that when they go to run it, teams play it, and then they do something else.
Yep.
Watch for it. There's going to be a double reverse coming out of that, or a reverse.
Lamb and Turpin?
Yeah, and then maybe Lamb throwing one. Like there, it feels like they ran it three times because they're trying to set something up in the future, and it was good that CD had success with it.
Yep. And I should tag
when
on
you
that.
See him emotioning, when you see him motioning, they're gonna bite on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I should tag on to that. Brandon Cooks also had a rush for 5 yards. So there's four wide receivers who rushed the ball on Sunday
interesting.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. What was the longest run?
Longest run was by CeeDee Lamb, 12 yards.
Okay.
Rico, not great. Like, we don't really, we that's don't want the one we like to see, but we don't really have that burner. Like, I guess Rico Dowdle's got some speed, but we're not expecting Zeke to be running for 25 yards.
No.
He's kind of just going to be that, wear the team down. I mean, maybe when Dalvin Cook gets out there, we see a little bit more, but
True.
I think this is the offense that we just kind of got to get accustomed to, where there might not be a whole bunch of big run plays, which is okay. I'm okay with that. Beat a team down.
If we're doing 4.1 yards average, so like you substitute the Lamb, let's say Lamb doesn't have the 25 yards and that goes to Dalvin Cook, which hopefully Dalvin Cook does more than 25 yards in a game. But if we're above 100, I think 100 yards with four average, that's good. One touchdown, that's not bad. It's not terrible, but it's still not great.
That's most NFL running backs are going to break off the 25, 102 yards for 1 yard average and a touchdown by themselves.
Yeah.
Like most starting first string running backs are going to be able to do that.
Which, so two of our guys should be able to produce. If we're doing that, like Zeke and Dowdle should be getting the 25 carries to amass over 100 and some odd yards. And
yeah.
Don't, like, the Browns have a very good front seven. So that they, I mean, for the Cowboys to get 100 yards, a touchdown and a 4.1 average, I'll take it. And we, it's so hard to judge so much from week one. You need, I'd say, how many games do you think you guys need to, until you can kind of start seeing trends? Five games?
I say by week. Yeah, that's fine. I say week four is when you would start to get panicky if things are not improving by then.
Right.
But if this consistency happens where the defense is kind of controlling the game, the run, and then the offense is coming in playing smart football and scoring points to keep us ahead. And if you score 30, if you score over 30 points and you're really not taking any deep risks,
yeah,
I think it shows pretty good. But, the defense is either doing awesome and special teams is putting you in positions to score quickly.
Well,
you're just not in a, you're never in any sort of threat.
I don't know if we're going to do it tonight, but remember that time when we were looking at PFF and you could see all the throws that Dak would make?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Dak did make a few long throws yesterday. It just never connected. Out of like the success, I think maybe some of our throws were a little bit more shaky. Alex is looking at that, though, Michael Clark in chat says, Dowdle isn't an in-between-the-tackles runner. Him and Deuce need edge rushing schemes.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, again, Deuce Vaughn only got the one carry. Wouldn't have mind seeing maybe another one or two chances for Deuce. Again, the Cowboys offense played into what they needed to. They didn't try to really take any crazy chances because they had the lead for most of the game, which. Yep.
Yeah. Why do that to yourself?
But it will be interesting going forward to see what they can do, what the offense and the running backs end up doing.
And maybe that's why we saw four like jet sweeps or four reverses or whatever anyone wants to call them. I call them a jet sweep. Maybe we saw that because we were up.
Up, down, around town.
Up, down, around town, and in your...
I know what you're talking about. I can't find it.
That's okay.
Let's look for it because that is a pretty cool thing. But I think it also, it's...
Might be too early in the week.
Might be a little... True. And it also only shows select things, so...
Right, okay.
Well, but I guess that is awesome.
Yeah,
that
I guess I was just thinking, like, when you look at... Now that if we're moving on to the receiving...
Yep.
I mean, chat's already talking about it. I mean, do we want to get on to Fergie or do we want to save that for after we talk about some receivers?
Sorry, I'm looking for that thing.
Obviously another big news coming out was Fergie possibly having an ACL tear. doesn't look like it. They're announcing that it's a sprained MCL. He might not even miss. They're saying in the chat that he might not even miss any games.
Which is great, because at the time you see a guy go down how he was, he looked like he was in some pain, and he's a pretty big integral part of this offense coming off of his best year last year. That's some nice news compared to what Cowboys fans are used to after a week one where a guy gets hurt and he's usually done for season.
Yeah.
So knowing that Jake Ferguson isn't going to be out for a big chunk of time, if any time at all, I think we got to be pretty stoked about that.
Jenkins is saying that Fergie said he could have came in yesterday.
Crack him if you got him.
And they want us to crack one for Fergie, so that's a crack him for Fergie right there.
Crack him for Fergie, yeah. It looks like he's just considered week to week with a sprained MCL. But here's the thing. If Ferguson isn't 100%, let's not take a risk. I mean, New Orleans looks good, and it looks like we're going to have to try to outpace them in scoring, that's for sure. Much more than the Browns.
Derek Garston Carr.
But I do...
Granted, they played Carolina.
Very true. Then that's very fair. But my thought is just, if he's not 100% and there is that risk of a weak knee and we just want to give him some extra time, I wouldn't mind seeing John Stevens Jr. come out there and
He was a healthy scratch last week. It would be nice to see him, because I feel like he's the direct replacement for Ferguson in my mind. Like he's more of a receiving type tight end, and he's, when he's had the chance in preseason and training camp, he showed some stuff. So if you're right, if Jake Ferguson is hurt or even like 60%, this isn't the time to wheel him out or let him go out there.
No, exactly. And it's a long season. Of course, I want to see what Jake Ferguson can do, but I'd rather wait if that's the case, if he's feeling a little weak. But the other receivers here, there was that beautiful bomb. So CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 61, 12.2 average, and he also had those 25 rushing yards, but still under a century mark. But then Brandon Cooks with that beautiful route to the corner of the end zone, catching that. Yep. I don't know. Dak was throwing it to the heavens.
He's just wide open.
He just threw that ball so far up, yeah. So
and no one was even close to Brandon Cooks. Like there was no one within 5 yards of him.
No, he just ran a. I don't know if the route confused the defender, because he wasn't running anything speedy. Like of course everyone's running, but he was hooking to the end zone. So
it was kind of like a fade. So
fade, yeah. Maybe it just the guy just lost it.
Yeah, I mean. It was a weird, we talked about it yesterday though, but and maybe Jenkins, you can attest to it, like on TV, it's, you're looking at half the field is blaring sun and then half the field shade. Stuff like that can mess players up on the field depending on how you're looking and where you're going for it, but.
Oh yeah, for sure. That field fucking looks like it'd be so shitty to play in, and especially a midday game. Like Cowboys, the Cleveland, when they had the ball sometimes there, or it was Turpin when the Browns kicked to Turpin and he lost the ball.
Yeah.
In the sun.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, then you see the shadow creeping up the field. Like, that's got to be so tough to play in. Did you want to look at the Cleveland side of the ball and just
let's take a peek.
Yeah. And Michael Clark was saying Dak threw the ball 6 yards before Cooks broke his route. So Dak was already launching it before Cooks even broke.
He knew. That's why he probably threw it up so high. But of course, we know just Deshaun Watson had a pretty lackluster game, 24 for 45, 169 yards, 3.8 average, one touchdown, two interceptions, 6 sacks for 32 yards.
Oh my God.
Jeez. that's the game tape, right? That's the tail of the tape right there, man. Those 6 sacks and the 2 turnovers, crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really looked like Cleveland couldn't get anything going. Whether or not that's on Watson's shoulders for just not being the guy who everyone thought, or he certainly looks like he's digressed from his 2021, 2022 year, whichever one it was. He had a very good season before all of his personal issues started to catch up to him. So I don't know. Cleveland's in a bad position with that contract, with that quarterback.
I think they need a bounce back game. Imagine another stinker like this. Imagine another Deshaun Watson game where he gets six sacks six times and has multiple turnovers.
Oof.
Man, that'll be all bad. After Joe Flacco basically led the team to the postseason, it's not looking good for Deshaun Watson and the type of contract that he has. They can't move on from him.
They can't. I watched a breakdown on it today. Like they literally have him. Even if by like 2027 they were to cut him, they're still forking over like $40 million in like dead cap. Like it's literally a bad. Like they can't do anything.
The Houston Texans made out like bandits.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
absolute bandits.
And the Texans went in. Completely revitalized their organization with that by getting rid of him too.
They drafted CJ Stroud with the picks that they got and just completely switched it around.
Now I don't want to make this a Deshaun Watson.
No, you can.
Podcast.
Hey, this is how we debrief games.
But or Cleveland Browns, I should say. But the Browns do have an interesting, unfortunate potential for them to basically rip up the contract is Deshaun Watson is now accused of sexually assault by a Texas woman from 2022 incident or 2020 incident.
Is this new?
This came out within the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Kilo's saying he's being sued again in Houston.
Right. So again, I always think like innocent until proven guilty and that's how it should be. But does this give the Browns enough and are the Browns going to be willing to be like, okay, you know, terrible scenario to happen, but can we make the best of it and have our contract ripped up? If there was any sort of wording within the contract that said you need to not sexually assault women.
If you sexually assault women, you are no longer a Brown.
If he is found guilty, if this goes the whole length of that,
they can just cut him.
It could result. Like, I don't know the specific wording, but that's their kind of golden ticket to this to get out of that contract because that is a ridiculous contract. But that's TBD.
Now, do you think the Browns are paying a female in Houston to sue him?
It might be.
Listen, if you can be successful, we will give you a quarter of his contract that we owe him.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad. So then the rushing game for the Cleveland Browns, Jerome Ford, 12 for 44, 3.71 touchdown and 11 long. The team had 19 carries, 93 yards total, 4.9 average, and one touchdown. Nothing really crazy there. I think the defense played very well. I would have loved for Ford not to get that touchdown, but at the end of the game, it
was garbage nothing. Time touchdown.
Yeah,
it meant it, by the time that's what I mean. Like that 17 is a lot. It's a lot nicer than what the game actually was.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Like it's sure it's 33-17, but it was a 33-10 game. Like that's what it felt like. Like not at one point.
Well, I thought it was 33. I totally thought it was 33-10. And then when I'm sitting here now sober, I'm like, wait a second. Like my score was 31-17. I was the closest one for that score.
Well,
I don't even remember the touchdown kind of. I don't even really remember.
It's because it was garbage time. You knew the game. And that's why it's tough. Week one's a tough one. The Browns' offense looks like shit. Their defense played pretty well. But at the end of the day, Cowboys are 1-0, baby. And there's nothing better than starting the season off 1-0. After all the shit we had to listen to fans throughout the offseason, it just feels good that the Cowboys started off on the upside. Keeping pace with the Eagles. Now we get to go into week two against the New Orleans Saints. We're going to be back. Are we doing main event still Wednesday nights? Is that what the plan is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you talk about changing that or
no?
Okay,
I think it'll be you and Alex this week, and then I'll be back in regular program.
Alrighty, so
sucking okay, back we will that be, burp.
any final thoughts on the game before we move on from it, or we nailed it?
I was happy, man. I was happy. I'm glad football is back, baby.
We're back.
We're back. Baby.
We're gonna have a good one coming up here against the New Orleans Saints. They won their game, so we're 2-1-0 teams. Fighting for that Super Bowl, baby.
Hey, if you know somebody that's not a Dallas Cowboys fan, we got something that you can go ahead and tell them. You can tell them to go
fuck themselves!
Trash talk flying eagles out of their tree.
Yep.
Y'all laying eggs while we ball like Zeke. Crack them open, man, this podcast elite.
Crack them if you got them, son!
Tops and chill. Vancouver repping Dallas, show some real skill. Mock and Philly charts, we roast them on the grill. Crack them if you
hear the buzz and thrill. Sunday gave me